All right. Good morning, everybody. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. Want to wish everybody a good morning. Thank you for coming in and joining us on Bitcoin Veterans Spaces number 265, where we talk about Bitcoin and a bunch of other stuff too. Appreciate everybody who comes in each day and listens, and those who participate too. We'll get the stage rearranged. I know Neil's going to be out. Hopefully we'll have some other folks come up here, and I think we'll have a special guest here in a little bit, and looks like he's requested, so I'll have him up here. And yeah, if you guys didn't know, my name is Bob Van Kirk. I will be your host this morning and hoping to have some other people up here, but we do have producer Eric. Thank you, as always, for the intro music, Eric. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Bob.
Yes, and let's see. We got Texas Toast coming up. We can get him up here as co-host, maybe. And today is Tuesday, September 16th, 2025. And the time chain calendar stats, no, not stats, time chain calendar, are in front of me. I actually had to switch because I usually load that on my computer screen, but trying to use the app, and so I got to switch between. But it is Tuesday, as I said, and we are at Bitcoin block height number 914,961. With the Bitcoin price hovering just above 115,000, which means you can still pick up 868 sats for each US dollar. And again, this data is brought to you by Time Chain Calendar. Get the apps on Android and Apple. We'll be chatting about that here in just a little bit. Just a couple of more ground rules, housekeeping rules, announcements, and then we'll get into it with TC. Let's see. Before we kick off the show, just want to remind everybody, if you'd like to come up, hit that microphone button in the bottom left. Would love to have you come up, ask some questions, participate on the panel. And if you do have comments to throw in that comment box, we do have purple pill down in the bottom right. You can hit that and type in your comments there. I did throw in the nest our next announcement, which is Bitcoin Veterans is having our second annual summit on November 10th and 11th in Nashville, Tennessee. And yeah, be sure to check out that link in the nest, because the sponsorship opportunities just went live yesterday. So there's sponsorship opportunities available. But again, this conference is going to be awesome. We'll have it on Monday. Will be conference day. Lots of great speakers, panel discussions, all that good stuff. And then day two will be range day. Visit bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025 to get involved. And if you'd like to volunteer or purchase a ticket to attend, please visit that website as well, bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. Awesome. I think I got through all of that. Did want to go around the horn and say good morning. Let's start out with, we already heard from Eric. Let's start with Texas Toast. How you doing this morning, sir?
I am sweaty Betty this morning. I spent all morning catching a kitten. If anybody wants a kitten, please let me know, because I don't, but I also just didn't want it to get hit by a car. I live on kind of a busy street. But yeah, so that's my morning. It's going great.
Excellent. And BFP, thanks for joining. How's it going today, sir?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me. Great morning, as usual.
Yeah, for sure. And last but not least, looks a little bit different because he's on the handle for the website and the apps. But TC, good morning, sir. How's it going today?
Good morning. Greetings. It's a fine day, although this morning I just heard, since we're on the theme of animal encounters, I just heard about 6:30 this morning, somebody in my neighborhood has a rooster. What the?
Yeah, the HOA is coming, maybe.
Depends on. It's not an HOA, but I think there's some regulations against roosters in the town I live. I haven't heard one before, like in the immediate vicinity, but I heard one this morning. Caught my attention. It's hard to miss.
Yeah, crazy stuff. People always try to do interesting things, don't they? And see how long they can get away with them. Maybe it was a rogue Costco employee letting one of those rotisserie chickens loose. We'll see. I will be curious to find out on that, TC. Please do follow up. But no, did want to say thank you for joining us this morning. And I kind of noticed yesterday as I was going throughout X and saw that you had released these apps. Previously, you've had the progressive web apps and really like that. But yeah, seemingly the next step for you is Apple and Android. And so seems like you've taken that down and put those out there. And just want to hear about it. Thanks so much for coming on. And would just love to hear maybe the history of Time Chain Calendar and, you know, where you've come from and then maybe where you're going. This is pretty cool stuff, though.
Thank you. I guess I would start by saying, I've been a web developer for a very long time. I built websites, and web applications over the last 15 plus years. It was a, you know, steady career for me. And at a certain point, I started working, more closely to the Bitcoin space. And in just the last few years, there was some moments where, the employment was not so steady. And, just in my own journey, I kind of developed, you know, my own mental model around Bitcoin. And basically when I was in a sort of spot between jobs, just about 3 years ago, it'll be 3 years, in November when I launched Time Chain Calendar. But basically, over the course of about a week and a half, I built out the first version of the Time Chain Calendar website and launched it. And, you know, that really started literally with a little, drawing on paper of, you know, the block height and these circles. And, it's just kind of carried on from there. The website has been an incredible sort of outlet for my own thinking around Bitcoin and my own sort of perspective about how I see the protocol. And, you know, really it's turned into this thing where I realize most people in their Bitcoin journey really end up staring at the price chart and not much else on a daily basis. And they kind of ride a roller coaster with these lines and candles on a chart. And, to me, I kind of understand why a lot of people don't stick around that long in Bitcoin. I actually know several people in my own sphere who, you know, maybe took a bite or dipped a toe. And then, you know, just when those market cycles turn, they go running for the exits because they don't really know what they're holding on to. The understanding and the knowledge and the studying of Bitcoin is really the key to conviction in it. That's my opinion. And so I don't know. I have come to look at my project as just a really specific way of looking at Bitcoin and something much more meaningful and productive, in my opinion, to stare at on a daily basis rather than a price chart. So, yeah, the website came out of that. The mobile apps are just the next platform on which to, sort of bring this perspective, into being. And I'll pause right there.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, where I was introduced to it, to be honest, and I had been on X Spaces and kind of seen you around, but I went to, I think it was Miami, maybe it was 2022. Can't even remember now. So many things have happened. I think we've all lived several lifetimes since then. But it was up on full display at the conference.
Yeah, that was 23.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. It was kind of mesmerizing because you had lots of things going on, obviously, but they threw it up there on the screen. And I really think it was a cool, prominent thing that you still have the price up in the top right hand corner, depending on your screen and orientation. But it's really that those circles that I think really draw people's eyes in. And for, you know, the first timer who's never been to timechaincalendar.com or hasn't downloaded the app, it could be a little bit too much to take in. But as you start to understand Bitcoin and as you see how this is constructed, it makes a ton of sense. And I really love the layout. So can you talk a little bit about just your idea on the design and how you came up with that display mechanism with these circles and what do they all mean? Maybe just for people who are taking a look at this for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, I think I need to give a little more context to, there's a thing out there. I think a lot of you have probably seen it before. It's called the block clock. It's a piece of hardware made by CoinKite, the same people that make the cold card. And, this is a really cool piece of hardware that, that CoinKite started making years ago. And a lot of people, you know, put them on their desk or, you'd see it in the background when people are on, podcasts and things like that. Famously, Jack Dorsey was, I think, being interviewed by the news and had a block clock on in the background and somebody saw the sats per dollar show up on it. And that's where the term Moscow time got coined because they thought he had Moscow, time zone on his clock in the back. Anyways, the point is that block clock was powerful and potent because it brings the block height into view and it gets your attention when it changes the block height. And if you're very new to Bitcoin, you might really shrug your shoulders at that because what is this big number and why should I care? But as you kind of learn more about Bitcoin, you might come to see that block height really represents something very significant and it's something very potent that's happening every time there is a new block in Bitcoin. And so, you know, I actually own two different block clocks. I have the mini and the micro and, I had them on my desk and I really appreciated the, experience of having that block height, you know, visible to me. I had my own kind of feelings about like where the strengths and weaknesses of that particular hardware were. And one of the things for me, especially being a web developer, is, you know, I have other resources up on my screen and I would notice that the block would change and sometimes the block clock wouldn't change for a few minutes even. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to build a sort of web interface that kept you really up to the moment, informed about these blocks happening. So, you know, very simply, there's two really important things that every block does. It issues new supply through the subsidy that is, given out to the winning miner that hits the block. And then transactions that are included in that block get confirmed. So peer-to-peer transactions are getting confirmed and new Bitcoin supply is getting issued every single time there's a block. So every one of these blocks is an important moment to Bitcoin because every single one is issuing new supply, confirming transactions. And then there's a lot of other stuff that's happening every block. The UTXO set is getting updated and basically that sort of audit of the whole system and a common understanding of which UTXOs are spendable. It's pretty heavy duty. It's like all the protocol and all of the functionality of Bitcoin happening and coming to a head every single block. And that's roughly every 10 minutes. So this interface, these circles, is a contextual perspective on the significance of these blocks happening. You've got the big number in the middle that represents the latest block that's happened. That's basically how far we've come since Bitcoin started. It started on block zero back in 2009. And we heard Bob earlier say there's 914 some odd blocks been added since. And the supply, nearly 20 million, has been issued over that course of time. But the time chain calendar interface is showing you the most recent block. It's showing you some data about that and how much time has elapsed since that block. So there's a little kind of progress circle, which is the innermost circle in those concentric circles interface. The progress shows you basically an expectation of 10 minutes because the progress when it goes all the way around the circle, that's a 10 minute interval. And so there's times when you'll see blocks hit way short of 10 minutes and other times that time goes 20, 30, 40, an hour. It can go much beyond 10 minutes, but it's all sort of color coded and kind of visualizing that experience of the expectation of 10 minutes versus the reality of what's actually occurring there. And then there's another circle outside of that, which is all the little blocks that have happened in the last 24 hours. So you see a visualization of the distribution of those blocks. You can see the gaps and the clumps where this is a totally random deterministic process. It's not like every 10 minutes there's a block. They're not evenly spread out on that ring. It's very random. So that's a pretty powerful visualization in and of itself, something that you just don't see. And some people might not think of, when they think of how the system works. So that's a kind of interesting thing to visualize there. And then the red circle is the blocks to the next difficulty adjustment. It's roughly a 2 week cycle. And that is every 2016 blocks, you get a change in the mining difficulty based on the average block time for the previous difficulty cycle. So the last 2 weeks, what is the pace of blocks on average? And is it faster or slower than 10 minutes? The difficulty will change accordingly. You'll notice on the new mobile app, the average time is one of the largest numbers on the screen in the bottom right corner from the circles. And that's why, because that is a very important metric. And as we are about 2 days away from the next difficulty adjustment, it's about time to pay attention to that number because that's going to directly translate into the next difficulty adjustment. The orange circle in the interface is the blocks to the halving. That's roughly 4 years, 210,000 blocks. And you can see we're a little bit past a third the way to the next halving. And on the outside circle of the interface, you've got this progress of the supply issuance as a percentage of 21 million. And you can see that the circle's almost complete. We're nearly 95% issued supply. And yet it's going to take over 100 years to finish issuing and you can see all the little notches marked with Roman numerals that represent the halvings that have occurred throughout that supply issuance. Just keep in mind, there's eventually 33 halvings, I believe, and we're on epoch 5. So, you know, there's a bunch more halvings going to happen in that tiny little space between roughly 95% issued and 100% issued over the next 100 years. So there's a ton of context packed into those concentric circles. It's sort of nested time frames where the very outside is the entire lifespan of Bitcoin and the very inside is just this expectation of the timing of the most recent block. So, yeah, that's a lot. But, you have questions if you do.
Yeah, it's really a great description. And I know for people, again, looking at it the first time, it's a lot, but man, it is, jam packed full of great info. And I think the visuals make it a lot more interesting. BFP, I see your hand. Do you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I had a quick question. I heard about this very early on, and it's how I show people Bitcoin because, you know, people, I don't want to show them my wallet. I don't want to show them the price. And when I'm talking to somebody who has no clue, I always whip out the time chain calendar, and it's just, I've been following it for a long time, and it just gets better and better, especially with these new apps. Now you can show normies who have no idea what a progressive web application are, and as soon as you say that, they close down. So I want the thing that made me ask a question was you were talking about the block clock, TC, and I've always wanted to buy one, but I just thought it was kind of rudimentary and I didn't want to just have a price sitting there. But have you ever contemplated, like, I know you just released these apps, so it's probably not on your mind, but a hardware device with customizable time chain calendar, you know, for like something less than $100, something kind of that you could just throw on your kitchen countertop or desk, and within the next 5 years, maybe put that one out there. It might be the next iteration.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's not my focus. I am very much focused on software. This is the cool thing. I mean, and this is one of the reasons why I really liked focusing on web in my engineering career over the years. Is that web can be seen in so many different places. You can pull up a browser on your phone, on a smartwatch, on a computer display, on your laptop, on a TV screen. It's a very versatile platform. And so the answer to your question really is to do what a lot of people have done with time chain calendar that I've seen, which is get yourself an external monitor, or if you have an old iPad, perfect. Just mount it on the wall and set it up so that it doesn't go to sleep and put it on time chain calendar. The website itself is very flexible and tries to fit in any size screen. And there's a variety of customizations. Now that my mobile app is out, I'm going to be doing a big overhaul of the website. And that's going to include even more customizations. And honestly, I think that is the economic solution to what you're thinking of, is you just find a display that you're not using or a tablet that you're not using and set it up pointing to that website, and you'll be good to go. I've seen lots of people do that, and it works great. To me, considering that is so doable, it does not make sense to manufacture custom hardware. It makes sense for me to focus my attention on the software side of things and continue getting out cool software.
Yeah, thanks for that. And wondering, like, one of the questions I have is, obviously you have extensive experience being a web developer. How long did it take you to create these apps, not just for one operating system, but for both. And what was the thought behind releasing them at the same time?
I have seen all kinds of app launches in the past. I actually worked at several companies years ago that would have, you know, an Android team and an iOS team, and they were always out of sync in some respect. And there was always a different timing to sort of releasing these things. And then more recently in the Bitcoin space, I've seen plenty of apps launch where, you know, maybe first it's just on Android and the iOS people are like, hey, what about us? Or vice versa. And I just didn't want that. I wanted to figure out how to actually build for both platforms in parallel. So, as far as time frame, I kicked this project off in earnest last July. So it's been about a year and a few months. I built out my own backend, and that's one of the features of this new app, is that it's using my own data source. On the website, I use Mempool Spaces free API, and I am eternally grateful to them for providing that. It's allowed me to actually build that website and provide that website to people for the last almost 3 years. When I started this part of the project, I realized I needed to have my own data source for a variety of reasons. So the last year plus that I've been working on this included building out my own backend, and then I used a very cool framework, which I highly recommend if anybody wants to do this kind of work and build apps in parallel. There's a thing called Flutter, and that is what I used, where you build one code base and it's able to generate iOS and Android apps and web and a bunch of other things. When you're doing certain native features like widgets, you have to use native code. So there's definitely some detours involved in specific code for specific platforms. But for the most part, I was able to basically build these apps on iOS and Android completely in parallel, and the feature set is basically on par on both platforms.
I want it on my truck screen.
Dude, I've seen a Tesla with it up in the little console screen. There is a way on some of those car systems to pull up a browser, and if so, you should be able to grab the website and throw it up there.
Yeah, I wonder there are different with like Android and Apple CarPlay, and I'm just like scrolling through there right now. I wonder how, because yeah, there you can get that on there, but then it has like Spotify, Telegram, Google Maps, WhatsApp. If there's different apps that appear on that, I wonder how that can get up there.
Yeah, I'm absolutely interested in more platforms even beyond iOS and Android. So yeah, that's basically kind of the direction that my project is going to be working in, is continuing to find more platforms to work on, you know, wearables, smartwatches. There's TV apps for a lot of these smart TVs, those car systems. There's a lot of different frontiers that you can do work on. So I'm planning to try to explore as many of those as I can over the next coming years.
What about smartwatch development? Have you thought of doing something for that?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that has been a common observation ever since I launched Time Chain Calendar. I think it inherently has kind of a smart, a watch face kind of presentation to it. And so I'm very determined to do a watch app. And at some point about 2 years ago, I thought that was absolutely my next focus. But I realized that the best and most feature-filled watch apps have a base mobile app companion. And so that is one of the things that led me to focus more on trying to build out the base app first. So now that this app is out, I actually can focus on the watch app properly. And that's a big part of my near-term roadmap here.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited for that. And I think people would definitely either subscribe or pay for that, especially if you've been hearing it a lot. Another question for you. Tell people about some of the hidden features, like the fact that you can click on the block height and maybe go back in time or maybe try to go out into the future.
Yeah, I'm actually going to do a little video of this either today or tomorrow. But even if you don't subscribe on the app is still pretty functional and useful. The whole home screen, the main interface and the dashboard are all there. And I'm going to try to, in my video that I'm going to make, point out some of the interesting settings and customizations that are available for the home screen, because you can change a few things. But mostly there's really a very effective search feature in there. It basically took the functionality that's on the website and I redid it all, thinking about it from the point of view of the mobile phone use first. And, you know, really that slider that's below the circles is kind of blinking at you, asking you to grab the handle and slide it. And you immediately see, the chain rolling back as you slide that slider to the left. It's a pretty powerful, visualization. And I think it was, BFP who said that, you know, using time chain calendar as sort of a learning tool or a orange pill tool when you're talking to new people. And I think that is actually one of the more effective features of it in that context, is that you can kind of control the regression and progression of the time chain. And you can basically roll back and see the impact of these halvings. You see the subsidy change. You see the pace of the supply changing. You feel the little haptic bumps when you're rolling over the different epochs. And it's pretty amazing to just jump back, stop on an old block and, you know, see what's happened on the number go up side of things. But if you hit the little magnifying glass button, or if you just tap the big block height number in the middle, you get a menu pop up that shows you a bunch of search options where you can jump to different epoch points, particular halvings, and you can search by block number. You just type in a block you're trying to find. You can search by date, put in a date and time. These things also work both directions as far as past and future. So it's really cool to be able to jump back and find specific blocks, look up certain information. It's fascinating to look at the fees, for instance, right around the last halving. And, you know, subsequent, I would say 20, 30 blocks after the halving, the fees were just absolutely insane. It's something I regularly go back and look at, but you can also estimate the future because we know we have the system that over a long enough period of time stays pretty darn close to 10 minutes on average. So you have this ability to just put in a block number in the future and you can estimate what date that's going to happen on, or you can put a date time in the future and it'll estimate which block that'll be. And in that interface, one of my favorite features is the little average block time slider. And if you notice, oh, look, we're 9 minutes and 30 something seconds. And if you notice that over time, these blocks tend to come in a little faster than 10 minutes overall. That's why the difficulty keeps going up. That's why miners keep pouring on more hash rate. Well, when you do a future estimation, you can slide the little average block time slider in that estimation window and adjust the estimate for a certain bias. Like say you think the blocks are going to be faster. You want to know, okay, what block is it going to be 10 years in the future? And you might want to dial that 10 minute average down to, you know, 9 minutes and 40 seconds or whatever you think the average block time will be between now and then. And it directly impacts the estimate. So I think it's a pretty powerful little estimation tool. And, there's a variety of use cases for that. And it's also just kind of fun to to check out, certainly as we approach milestones like block 1 million or, you know, the next halving, those kind of estimations become almost much more real. People trying to plan events and parties and things like that.
Sorry, guys, had trouble coming off mute there because I was in the app. Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring that up. I brought it up before. I think Coleman interviewed me maybe a year ago. We started we bought a property together, a few of us, 8 of us, and it's a 30-acre property. And from time to time, we have gatherings out there and for Bitcoiners from the local meetups. And I actually used Time Chain Calendar to try to figure out when the halving was going to be last year so we could have a party. And we were pretty right on. I think it happened the evening before the actual gathering. So if you guys are considering downloading this app for any of these use cases, please do. I wanted to talk to you too, TC, about the block production and just that data. Can you talk a little bit about the hash rate, maybe how you're trying to measure that and bring it through so that people can get a sense for the different timeframes and, I guess how much hash rate's out there and then average block time and what's been going on in the last 24 hours?
I mean, to me, this is a really important aspect of all of this, just kind of staying aware of the block production and kind of surfacing that information as far as, oh, look, it's only been 130 blocks in the last 24 hours, or, oh, look, it's been 170 or 180. And, you know, just knowing, okay, 144 on average, if it's 10 minute blocks, and then recognizing also certain patterns as far as the sort of kind of deterministic random nature of those blocks getting hit to me is a very interesting thing to kind of watch over time. The whole context of it and what is important about it is the relationship between the pace of blocks and the difficulty. A lot of people don't know this. And it's a very important thing to start thinking about, is that hash rate is just simply a calculated metric on the network. You know, if you run a miner, you might have a very specific hash rate that you can determine on your own machine. If you run a mining pool, you might know a specific hash rate of all the participating miners' machines that are pointed at you. But looking at the entire network, and when we see like one zeta hash on the whole network, that is an estimate. That is not a direct metric that you can just plug in your node and see what's the hash rate right now. It's a calculated, estimated metric that's derived from the pace of blocks, or also known as the amount of work that's been done based on the current difficulty level. So the difficulty changes every 2016 blocks, and every block that comes within the next 2016 blocks has that new level of difficulty in it. And based on the pace of the blocks, we infer what the network hash rate is. So just simply kind of understanding sort of the hierarchy that hash rate number is derived from the difficulty and the pace of blocks, that suddenly makes the difficulty more important. It suddenly makes the pace of blocks something to pay attention to. And there's kind of a rhythm to it as well, because immediately following a difficulty change, it's not the most relevant time to even look at the average block time. You might see 15-minute average blocks or 7-minute average blocks, because there's such a small sample size. Maybe it's just a few hours or just a day or two after a difficulty adjustment. And, you know, that pace of blocks is less important. Whereas for instance, right now, where we're about 2 days away from an adjustment, that's when I really start looking at that. And I might look at that average block time several times a day as we're leading up to that difficulty change, because it's really meaningful. A burst of really fast blocks or a period of really slow blocks can change the outcome of the next adjustment. So that's kind of, for me, where the context of a lot of that stuff is, and why I think it's really important to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's great. Can you talk a little bit about the features of the app that make it slightly different from the progressive web app, and what people could stand to gain from downloading the app, and what extra features are in there? Can you kind of talk about all that?
Yeah, let's see here. And I apologize for any noise. I'm preparing breakfast for children at the moment. The app has several native features that you just don't get out of the website. So there's a camera feature built in there, which lets you snap photos and videos with the current live block data and price data superimposed on top of your photos and videos. So, you know, this is actually something that came out of a use that I saw of the website, which was a lot of people were using the Time Chain Calendar website as a way of quickly grabbing the block height, say when their child was born or some other significant life event. And the camera feature in the new app allows you just to pull out your Time Chain Calendar app and snap a pic. And there's the block height. There's the current USD price. And it's baked right into the resulting photo or video that you take. If you do video, it's actually a live changing metric. You'll see the price ticking away second for second. And when blocks change, you see that change. And so it's kind of just an interesting tool for bringing together the real data of Bitcoin with whatever you're experiencing and you're trying to capture. So that's the camera, and there's going to be a lot more features coming there. There's also a whole set of alerts through push notifications that are available on mobile that you can't really do effectively with web. And at the moment, there's four different varieties of alerts. We have price alerts where you can set up to 10 thresholds of different prices. And when the live price hits those prices, you'll get a push notification. You can set block alerts for specific blocks. You can set mining pool alerts where you pick a mining pool, and every time that pool hits a block, you'll get a push notification. And you can turn on calendar alerts. I've done a whole new calendar sort of alert system on the website. I think there's only 15 or 16 days a year where it would tell you, hey, today's white paper day, or today's, you know, running Bitcoin day. And I've done a whole bunch of research and built a database of a whole lot of historically significant events. And the goal is eventually to have something meaningful every day. At the moment, it's very close to every day, but there will be a handful of days each month where there's nothing. You can turn on alerts to actually get notified at the preferred time of day. Maybe you want to know at 6 a.m. when you're drinking your coffee, what the historically relevant things were that day. So that's the calendar alerts feature. And then the last native feature that you get on the app that you don't get with the website are these widgets that bring this information into your view, into your awareness, just like I was talking about with the block clock. You know, it's really powerful to just kind of stay aware of these things. Those widgets allow you to see that stuff without even opening the app. And on iOS, you can have lock screen widgets, which mean you don't even have to unlock your phone. You can see the data that you want. And there's a bunch of those, and you can basically mix and match and choose whichever bits of data you want to see on your lock screen there. So that is basically the native features that you can get on the mobile app.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Especially love that camera feature, and I'm sure that's going to lead to a lot more things. BFP, sorry, I think your hand's up again, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah. It's all good. It's not pressing. I was just doing what you were doing, Bob, and playing with the app. And I noticed, because it's always changing, and I noticed the art is a lot more cool when you're looking at the artwork. And that was one of the cool features that you kind of progressed. I was just wondering if you had any insights of how that's going. And it seems like there's a ton more art on there. As always, it seems like you get more and more. But if there's any new iterations with that going on with the new apps and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite things on the website, is the art gallery, which really kind of started very organically. I'm actually pretty good friends with several of these, Bitcoin artists, and, that sort of friendship and that particular community I've been sort of more and more a part of over the last couple of years, especially going to several conferences and meeting a lot of these people in person. I actually have a huge list of new artists that I want to add to this gallery. When I do the overhaul of the website, the gallery is going to get a whole overhaul as well. And so that feature is just in its infancy. It's going to keep growing. I don't know if you were aware of the Bitcoin Art Magazine project that's going on, but several, if not all the artists that I have in the gallery on my website are part of that new Bitcoin Art Magazine project. So it's just, it's kind of like something where I feel like Bitcoin art is kind of on the verge of a whole nother level of growth right along with Bitcoin. And to me, it's also something that's pretty powerful as far as the art capturing a lot of the kind of concepts and ideas and memes from Bitcoin and helping more people just see those things. And so actually with the mobile app, it's one of the potentials for a future feature is I'm thinking about doing a sort of get a piece of art notified to you on a daily basis or something like that. There's a lot of possibilities to cross-pollinate these things, and there's more to come. Just stay tuned on that front.
Is that magazine you just talked about, is that a physical magazine?
Yes.
I could like subscribe
yeah,
to?
Yeah, they're printing. Oh, nice. Like a really, really high-end quality publication. Just do a little search in your Twitter app for Bitcoin Art Magazine. You'll find it. There's an account for it. There's a bunch of people involved.
Cool. Thanks.
TC, what else did we miss here? I'm just kind of going over things again and looking at all of this cool stuff. Obviously, we covered the art. You have the shop. People can subscribe. What else do you want people to know as key takeaways for, yeah, I think what the inspiration for this is overall, and maybe tease some people with what is to come?
Yeah, I would just say the whole point of my project for me is, laser focus on Bitcoin. And I want to come back to something I said in the beginning, which is, you know, most people are just staring at a price chart. That's not Bitcoin. You know, the exchange rate between Bitcoin and fiat is outside of Bitcoin. Bitcoin has no awareness of that. And I really do wholeheartedly believe there's a really significant impact on your understanding of Bitcoin as far as how it relates to your conviction. And if you're putting any sizable amount of your, you know, sweat equity and your labor and your energy that you've stored into Bitcoin, you better understand what you're holding. And you ought to understand, that there's something so much bigger here beyond a price chart. To me, actually continuing to look at the protocol directly, continuing to pay attention to what's actually happening here gives entirely new relevance to everything else. I mean, look at these node war things that have been happening and look at all of the sort of like drama that comes and goes. So much of it, your perspective and how you might interpret what you're hearing and seeing can be really powerfully impacted by just having a better perspective yourself. And so, you know, I kind of believe that if you just use Time Gene Calendar like a calendar and you just check it out each day and you kind of keep an eye on where you are in these time cycles, where you are in terms of the time chain, I think there's a really powerful thing that emerges there. So that's what the North Star is for my project. And I just offer this tool to everyone out there, as something that you can use to kind of just confirm your understanding about things, as well as just having a point of reference that I think is really meaningful over time. You know, watching the cycle to the next halving. I mean, my website hasn't even existed for 3 years yet. And so I've seen one halving, crashed my website. That was a whole lot of fun. But it's like a significant thing to me. I feel like just paying attention to that cycle, it encourages more low time preference perspective. It encourages more patience. It encourages just context around what are we doing here. And in that, you know, the gyrations of the market kind of becomes noise. It's kind of second tier to this sort of like heartbeat of the thing itself, you know, that price is attempting to value. And so I think that's really the call to action, is just learn more, build your own mental model for what this thing is. Make sure you understand it beyond the price chart. And I think Time Chain Calendar is a nifty tool to help you do that if you so choose.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, just coming from the traditional financial services industry, I think one of the big things that people look for is reporting. And Bitcoin up until now, I think, has really done a poor job of reporting. Now that we have corporates involved, obviously there's new opportunities for people to build things. But this is, I'll just say, it is one of my favorite tools. We do use it every day on the show during the opener. And I think that this is something that you can also talk people through. You can change the epoch. You can change, you know, just go back in time. I like that. You can obviously get the up-to-date stats. Love the visuals with the kind of the countdown or where we're at on the difficulty adjustment, the blocks until halving, that visual about how the blocks are actually spaced out in that very center circle. You can also get all these great things on mining, if you're into that. So I think there's just something for everybody. And if you can get used to looking at this, it really does change your perspective. There's so much going on in the network, and really without much human, interaction other than, I would say, obviously people sending transactions and the miners. But the network does it all on its own. And so I love the visual. BFP, you came off mute there. Wanted to, let you pick up.
I was just saying it also shows you how many V-bytes it costs to send a transaction, which I learned what V-bytes were because of that app, and virtual bytes, basically how expensive it is for you to send a transaction at that moment. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, in a way, I do think that it materializes Bitcoin for a lot of people who say, hey, this is just magic internet money. It's something I can't touch and hold or feel. And I'd much rather maybe be buying, gold or something like that. I really do think that this does a great job of kind of materializing, or at least giving people a nice visual, so that they can both get some data, but then also learn all these different aspects and wonders of the Bitcoin network beyond just the price. And so, I just want to say thanks for coming on and talking about it. And also, yeah, all your hard work with this. Curious if you can let us know, like, what's next. Is there anything in particular? I mean, we kind of danced around it. We talked about some features and functionality. But like, what's your big overall, you know, as you zoom out from things, what's the big thing that you really want to accomplish, going forward with this to help people out?
I mean, for me personally, this is about, evolution from this as a hobby project to it being really, I'm trying to run it as a business from the sense of doing things, of a new kind of level of quality and, trying to put out products that people want. The thing for the near term is kind of stuff I've all touched on, which is I'm going to overhaul the website. Keep an eye out for that. There's going to be more features added to the mobile apps for sure. You know, more alerts, more widgets, all that kind of stuff. I'm determined to do this watch thing. It's been sort of a cloud looming over me for about 2 years. So stay tuned for that. It's just, there's more coming. Basically, I've managed to situate my life. So this is basically what I do and I'm focused on it entirely. And so, just more to come.
Yeah. Thanks. And hey, just one other question on that watch thing. Is that harder than, doing like a mobile? And the reason I ask that is because there seems to be just so many different watch brands out there and I'm sure they're running similar, but they're, you know, similar software, but I think there's so many different size ramifications that I could think of. And I'm sure there's plenty of other more technical things that, you know, aren't abundantly clear. As you've looked into it, is that a pretty tall order or do you think that that's something that, you can bite off pretty quickly?
There's definitely a whole, wide variety and spectrum of different platforms within that form factor. So that is one of the challenges is that I believe, you know, some of these companies have totally proprietary, platforms software wise, and you try to build something that operates on their platform, you have to make it work with their operating system. So yeah, I mean, as far as smartwatches go, there's the Apple watches and there's the, you know, Android based ones, you know, Garmin and Fitbit, and there's all these other wearable devices out there. And a lot of them do have their own proprietary platforms. So yeah, it's a diverse, sort of fractured task. And it's one of the reasons I set out to build a mobile app, because it became clear to me actually when I was experimenting with Apple Watch stuff, you know, almost 2 years ago, it was clear to me I need that base mobile app, because building this watch app is going to be that much more of a task if I don't have the base mobile app providing me, the data and doing all the things that it already does. So that was what kind of helped me figure out the roadmap. And so now that the mobile app's done and out, I think there's a much clearer path to doing those wearables. We'll see.
Very cool. I'm sure we'll all be excited to see that. I know I will. I've been thinking about that for quite some time, hoping that we could get something like that. So, I think that's, yeah, wow, man, the time has flown today. And, really thank you again for coming on, taking your time. And, this has only been out, guys, for just over 24 hours, I think. So, you can be maybe one of the first few thousand to get it if you go into your app store and search for Time Chain Calendar. Great stuff. Man, I think it just excites me, like not just this project, but other projects that'll come. I think you've inspired a lot of people, giving good data, but good visuals too. I think the user experience is pretty fun too. So, if you guys haven't checked it out, please do. Timechaincalendar.com is a really easy way, right now. But yeah, with these new apps, I think that makes it even easier. Some people still don't even know how to load a progressive web app, kind of as a, I'll call it an icon or a widget on their phone. And so, this breaks down that barrier, which I think is really cool as well. TC, do you have any kind of final words as we wrap it up this morning, or, are we good?
Man, we're so good. I just want to thank you, Bob, and the whole gang with the Bitcoin Veterans. You guys have been such, gracious hosts and allowed me to hog the mic so much and jump in and interrupt your conversations. And I'm not even a veteran. So I just, I really appreciate you guys as, a group of friends. I feel like, it's been cultivated here. And so thank you very much for letting me come up and hog a whole space and share my product. And, you know, I really, really deeply appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And we always love to have you up. I do think, it's fun, the game we play sometimes, trying to get people on stage to say things that, you might want to come up and correct or give some added color to. And we always do appreciate that. I will say civilians welcome. This is a space for everyone, and, do have a, obviously a particular interest in our military veterans, but this is for all Bitcoiners. And so, appreciate everybody who comes into the space, and yeah, especially, people who've been around for a while and people who build cool stuff. I think that's, one of the fun parts about X is, you know, we can kick around all these news topics and ideas and argue about things, but, we can also get introduced to really cool products. And, I think, this one is certainly one that will stand the test of time. Hopefully you can keep developing it, but also maintaining. I don't see too many bugs so far in playing with it myself. So yeah, congratulations. And, yeah, I hope you get a lot of subscribers and you can continue to build this. I'm really excited to see where this goes next. For Eric, our producer, BFP, Texas Toast, and all of our listeners, I want to just say, yeah, thank you guys all. And thank you, TC, again. We'll do this again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. And, yeah, hopefully we can get into some more arguments. but I want to wish you guys all a great Time Chain Calendar Tuesday or Taco Tuesday, if your heart so desires. And, yeah, that's it for us. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And remember, do not shitcoin. It's like using a Bitcoin app and only looking at the price.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value. We call them core. We call them core.